Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are always online at npr.org and in a whole lot of other places. You know, it's Friday. We're trying to keep the energy up and we need some help. We need some company. So we brought in our producers to do the most emailed, most viewed, most mosted stories on the interwebs, and we call it the most. Caitlin Kenny.
Yes, I have the most emailed story today from the Orlando Sentinel. And I have to say, I think this story is particularly great because it's about Disney, a place I've never been but think I would enjoy very much, especially after reading this story. Apparently, there's a boutique at Disney called the Bippity Boppity Boutique, which is awesome.
And wait, one more time, the Bippity Boppity Boutique?
Exactly. And they give makeovers to girls to make them look like their favorite Disney princess or their favorite Disney hero.
Wow.
And now they've added Hannah Montana to their list of makeovers that you can have. So for the small price of just $109.95 plus tax, you can get the Hannah Montana look from the hugely popular Disney TV show. Blonde wig, microphone headset, a Hannah Montana guitar purse, and other items. You get to hold a guitar that looks like Hannah's and pose for a complimentary picture.
I gotta say, I find that really creepy. You seem excited about it, but...
Well, I wouldn't want the Hannah Montana makeover. I definitely want Belle from Beauty and the Beast, not gonna lie. But when you look at the pictures of the boutique, it's crazy looking. It's just... It's really cute.
Excuse me, the Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me.
You gotta say the whole name.
Can we get Cruella De Vil? Because that's what I want.
Oh, that's hot. That
doesn't surprise me, Tricia.
Oh. Okay, speaking of Tricia.
Cruella, please.
Cruella, if you will.
Hey, my story is from USA Today. It's the most viewed there, and it also involves Florida. The headline, Pythons Could Squeeze Lower Third of USA. So two federal agencies, the U.S. Geological Survey and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, are investigating how far nine invasive snakes can come up in Florida, and they're linking it to climate change. As the nation gets a little bit warmer, these Burmese pythons could, they say, colonize a third of the U.S. from San Francisco across the Southwest, Texas, and up along and the Southeast, up along the
Virginia. Colonize,
really? You know what? Colonize. I know.
We humans have had a good run. Let's exactly. Give it to the wolves and the giant frogs.
So anyway, the lower third could be overrun by snakes, which really is probably more of a problem for the, you know, rodents that live down there more than the people. But then I thought, Burmese. Wait a minute, aren't those Asian pythons? So they're not native to the U.S., but I guess people who bought these snakes have been dumping them in the wild, and so they're colonizing. So there's two stories.
Organizing,
here.
Protesting, making signs.
Anyway, they're like, they can get to 20 feet long and 250 pounds. So wow.
Watch out, people. Ew. Ian, you're next.
Yeah, this is a most from MSNBC, a most viewed on MSNBC. We've been kind of satellite crazy around here, and, you know, they shot it down. This article, Team Ready to Chase Satellite's Remnants. Now, we've talked a lot about the satellite on the past couple days. Did you guys ever hear how big it was?
I heard bus sized.
Yeah, I had not been imagining a bus up there ready to fall on us. Anyway, so there's this recovery squad dubbed Operation Burnt Frost, and it's military and civilians. These are people, like, some of them have cleaned up oil spills before. Some of them were involved in the Columbia shuttle recovery, and they're standing by with hazmat gear. When stuff starts to come down, they're going to go pick it up, make sure it doesn't hurt the environment. Scientists have said that the hydrazine, which was the big concern of everybody, would neutralize if it landed in the ocean. But I guess if the gas landed near a smaller body, like a river or stream, it could contaminate a water supply. If it lands on sand, it could seep in and become a danger to people. And these guys also, in addition to their hazmat gear, have been outfitted with helmets and body armor on the off chance that some of this falls in a hostile zone, Iraq or Afghanistan. They're going to have to go get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel, this is yours, and you got to sell it, sister.
So quick. I know. Everyone's like, this is so boring. This is one of the most emailed stories on the New York Times. It's called Celebrating the Semicolon in a Most Unlikely Location.
Rock.
Okay, I have to tell you, I like punctuation. You know why? Because I work in radio. I don't ever really get to use it, and I think it's kind of fun. It's like looking, and a semicolon, no one really uses them anymore, and this is what the whole article is about, that there's this antiquated thing about the semicolon. It's like looking at a printing press or a VCR, when you see it, it's like, oh yeah, we have those things. I thought they were just winks and emoticons now. But they're actually used in punctuation, and the whole thing about this article is that apparently someone who works for the communications department at the New York City subway system made a little sign, a public service announcement, and said, please put it in the trash can, semicolon. That's good news for everyone. And so all the grammar freaks were like, that's such a beautiful use of the semicolon. And I, too, applaud this moment. And now we can move on.
No, Rachel, I just want to say, as the editor, I'm on your side, and I imagine Laura Conaway, our online editor, would be on your side, too.
Semicolon!
You won me over, baby.
I'm afraid to say anything about this because I don't want to use bad grammar when we're talking about it.
You know what? I'm with Ian. You're a wise man.
Okay.
Should I do mine or should I? We move on to Matt. Matt's got the most emailed time call. I'm getting the rap sign. Matt Martinez, you get to finish the most.
Great. I'm very excited. The number one most emailed story at NPR.org right now is headlined, Old-Fashioned Play Builds Serious Skills, with an S, not a Z, unfortunately. It's by NPR science reporter Lee Spiegel, and it basically traces how childhood has been changing, and she starts with an episode of the Mickey Mouse Club. She says that's a turning point of sorts. In 1955, it basically changed the way that children would be spending their time, and some experts say the shift has altered children's imaginations, the way that the minds develop. So here she is explaining what happened that day.